Thank you, Deaconess June, for that lovely introduction. It's really my privilege to share with you God's word with you this evening. Today, earlier on at 7 a.m. service, I was also invited to preach on we are doing a sermon series on the book of Joel. And at the 7 a.m. service, we have a certain time limit because of it's really packed. Service hour to hour, then there'll be another service and so on. But at the 5 p.m. service, you have the luxury of time. So I'll try to finish by 7 p.m. Okay, no, just okay. I don't think Deaconess June will invite me ever again if I were to finish my sermon by 7. But again, I was just commenting with Deaconess June, it's so lovely to have an evensong service where God's word is being sung with the Magnificat and the Song of Simeon. It's so lovely to just proclaim God's word. And you had three scripture reading. That's a very rare feat in other services. Because of time, they can usually read only two passages. But at the Evensong, you get the Old Testament, you have the Psalm reading, and you also have the New Testament reading. So you are very, very blessed to be part of this congregation, Evensong service. So let's just commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you. Your presence is so strong this evening. And we just want to thank you that you are our God and we are your people. And we enthrone you. We enthrone you over our lives, over our hearts. So Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. And we hold on to your promise that your holy word will never return void. So let us not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. That you will take fruit in our hearts and bring and be fruitful for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to show the sermon slide. The title for this evening's sermon is Rend Your Hearts from Joel chapter 2, verse 12. To 17. I understand you're doing a sermon series on the book of Joel. Last Sunday, Pastor Lian Suan shared on Joel chapter 1 on solemn assembly. So today I'm going to share a bit on Joel chapter 2. Feel free to turn to your Bibles. You can, if you have a Bible app on your phone, feel free to take it out. Please do not check Facebook or Instagram. But if you are more comfortable with a paper Bible, it's on page 1502. Of the Old Testament portion of the Bible in the pews, page 1502, Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read with you, starting from verse 1 and so on, which will lead to the passage that we're going to talk about, Rend Our Hearts. And the title of this passage is The Day of the Lord. And the book of Joel was written hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. We're not sure. We're not very familiar with the dating of the book. Scholars are still debating about it. But in spite of that, it's a very timely message for us modern Christian in 2018, especially when we live in a very topsy-turvy world of uncertainty, global events, calamities and disasters, wars and so on. So let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, they spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of all generations. So Joel was referring to an invading nation that will invade and judge Israel. Let me continue with verse 3. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. So the invading army that will judge Israel because of her wickedness will bring fire and destruction. So just imagine lots of fiery flames and so on destroying the city of Israel. And you're running away and you're looking towards, verse 3 says, the land is like a Garden of Eden before them. So you're pursuing, you're looking for hope. for deliverance. Can you find deliverance? Let's continue reading this. And verse 4, the appearance. Here, Joel is referring to the invading army. It's like the appearance of horses, like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of the chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. If you have read the earlier chapter in Joel chapter 1, it talks about the invasion of locusts. Here, if you look at let's see that picture. The face of a locust looks very hideous, isn't it? It looks like a horse. In our cathedral grounds, we have many grasshoppers. Have anyone seen a real locust before? Perhaps some of you have eaten a locust before. No. But the locust is bigger than a grasshopper. If you last time when I was teaching Sunday school, some of our Sunday school children will catch grasshopper and they will show it to me and, oh, so cute, you know, a tiny little grasshopper. But if they have caught a locust and they would have shown it to me, I would have freaked out. A locust is probably about the size of my palm. Huge, menacing. And when they fly, Joel describes it like the crackling of flames, the rumbling of chariots. So you can sense the heat of the fires at the back, and you can hear the noise. The day of the Lord is terrible. It's so terrifying. Verse 6, before them, people are in anguish. All faces grow pale. If Joel was to pronounce this judgment over Singapore, how would you feel? I will have grown pale as well. Verse 7, like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march, each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. It's unstoppable, the enemies of Israel. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. If you've seen those videos and pictures of locusts, swarms of locusts, as if it can even cover the sun, darkness will befall upon the land. So the day of the Lord is a terrible, terrible day. Who orchestrated this day of the Lord? God himself. If we read to verse 11, the Lord utters his voice before his army. For his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? So from this verse, we can infer that his army, who brings judgment against Israel, it's God's army, God's judgment. God is sovereign. God is in control. And the verse also says, he who executes his word is powerful. God's word is definite. God's word is final. When once he executed, it is powerful. He pronounced judgment over Israel. That is when the day of the Lord comes. Who can endure it? Who can endure it? It's a very depressing passage, isn't it? We live now in a very comfortable time, peace and prosperity over Singapore, and we can come to church to worship God so freely, so confidently. But there'll be a time when there's the day of the Lord. It'll be a terrifying, terrifying day. Today's message is not an easy one for me to share. What is the mission of the church? What is the purpose? Why does the church exist? Let me tell you, friends, it is to prepare God's people for the day of the Lord. When will it come? We do not know. But there are signs. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, there will be signs of the day of the Lord, the coming of the day of the Lord. In the meantime, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our friends, our relatives, and the nation of Singapore as well. So let me continue. So even though it's a very sombering message, But let's continue with verse 12. It is a message of hope. This is what verse 12 says. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. It is good news for us. In spite of the judgment that God has pronounced over Israel at that time, he has given an opportunity for his people to return, to repent, to come back to him. Because the verse says, he is gracious and merciful. We have a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding, abundant, overflowing with steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. And again, God is telling us, rend your hearts. What's the meaning of rending? It's tearing of one's clothes. For the Jews, it's a ancient tradition among Jews. It is associated with mourning, grief, and loss. When you tear your clothes, if you see those Taiwan soap opera, you know, when the mother lost, you know, when they get betrayed by the daughter, or, you know, some in-laws, you know, I better be careful with what I say. And they were, you know, the main character would tear her clothes or his clothes, and, you know, such grief and mourning. But it's a Jewish tradition. And the word for it is keria. It's tearing one's clothes was a public and powerful expression of grief in ancient time. And the practice is continued today in the in today's Jewish funerals. It is more regulated. So the garment is cut by the rabbi at a funeral service, and the bereaved will recite words relating to God's sovereignty and mercy. And one tradition says that the mourner must tear the clothing over the heart, a sign of a broken heart. So today I'm going to do something a bit dramatic. Yeah. Okay, you can. Yes, I have a piece of cloth here. And I'm going to tear, I'm going to rend this piece of garment. And I'm going to put it near the microphone so you can hear the effect of the tearing of the garment. Joel tells us, rend your hearts and not your garments. God isn't concerned about our external garments. God is looking at our inward hearts. He isn't concerned about external rituals, but he's looking at our hearts, our inner hearts, our inner conditions. As I tear that piece of garment, it's also a reminder for us what breaks God's heart. What breaks God's heart? I can think of a few. One of it is the garment of materialism, when we put material wealth above spiritual wealth. In the pursuit of wealth, of money, financial gain, we put mammon higher than God. What other things that we need to rend? Perhaps we need to tear the garment of kiasuism, fear of losing out and focusing just on results, reputation, or status. Being number one always. Maybe we need to also rend the garment of egoism, putting our personal needs above God, family, and community, winning at all costs, at the expense of even your family, your marriage, your friendship. Another thing, another garment that we need to rend and tear is the garments of self-righteousness, pride in our external religiosity and piety. But we are very shallow and superficial in our relationship with God. Condemning others, judging others, instead of searching deep within our hearts, for hidden or unconfessed sins. What garments do we need to tear? Perhaps we also need to tear the garments of complacency and laziness, being ambivalent, callous, and slothful in the things and activities of God. What breaks God's heart? The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 2, verse 29. It says here, "But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." In his letter to the Romans, Paul is reminding the Christians there that God, circumcision is just an outward ritual, but God is more concerned with our inward relationship, our inward condition. And the Apostle Paul says it's only by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, where we can God circumcise our hearts to love Him and to obey Him. So friends, in preparation for the day of the Lord, which is coming, we must rend and circumcise our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And again, an invitation. This is Joel's invitation to all of us. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. It's an invitation for all of us, an invitation to Singapore, to the church, to your families, to you, if you have been far from God. It's time to return while we have time, when there is still opportunity to repent and return back to God. One pastor say, repentance is perhaps the most hopeful and encouraging word in the Christian vocabulary. When God is telling us to return and repent, basically God is telling us there's still opportunity to return back to Him. There's still hope. So it's a very hopeful and encouraging word where we can return to Him. But friends, what prevents us from repenting or returning to God? I'd just like to highlight a few things. And we're going to ask God to search our hearts as well. One of it is pride. We don't need God. I've been fine without God. Second, self-condemnation. I'm not good enough for God. Third, anger and disappointment. Perhaps in our spiritual journey, we have been angry with God, disappointed with Him by our unanswered prayers, and we become embittered, and that prevents us from returning back to God. And other things, strongholds, such as habitual sins, pornography, sexual immorality, deep-rooted bitterness. And another thing, distractions from the world, entertainment, unwholesome relationship, comfort and convenience, they might prevent us from returning to God. So I just want to encourage all of us, if this evening God is speaking to you, to return, there is still hope, there is opportunity to return back to God before the day of the Lord. And the psalmist says in Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Friends, God is inviting us to return to Him. If you have been broken, God is welcoming us back to Him. I want to show you this painting. of the prodigal son. It depicts the story of the prodigal son. If you know the story, the son was prodigal. He went wayward. He spent extravagantly and lost his father's inheritance. And he came to his senses. He repented and returned back to his father. And if you read the gospel, as the son goes back, walked back home, the father saw him and ran, literally ran and embraced his son. So when the son returns and got embraced by the father, it shows how it shows God's love for us sinners. And at the same time, the father called his servants, bring a garment, replace this rags with garment. And you see this painting, the rags are being removed and new garments, fresh, clean garments are to be put upon the son. This is the picture of God's mercy and grace for all of us. When we return back to God, he's putting us, he's removing our rags, dirty, filthy rags. But sometimes we feel so comfortable in those rags. We need a wake-up call. But I pray that we'll be humble enough to remove those rags, to rend our hearts and return and exchange those rags for beautiful garments of praise and righteousness, which can only be offered by our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, I just want to end with this verse again to remind us, return to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful. Shall we pray? I'm just going to give some time for us to respond. As I speak this verse over you, God's word over you, may speak to your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. With all eyes closed, I just want to ask for a response. And I want to pray for those who respond by raising up their hands. If you want me to pray for you, God is speaking to you. He's asking you to return to him, to remove those filthy garments that you have been wearing. Jesus is extending garments of righteousness, garments of beautiful garments, in exchange for your filthy garments. And you need prayer. Just quickly raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Just imagine removing those garments of bitterness, garments of pride, garments that you have been clinging to you, that you've been clinging on for so many years. Tear it now. Just tear it. Imagine just tearing it and then offering it to Jesus. And just imagine Jesus removing those dirty rags. And imagine Jesus putting on a robe, a beautiful garment over you. A garment of love, a garment of forgiveness, a garment of grace and mercy. You do not have to wear dirty rags anymore, because you have returned to God. So, Father, you have seen those hands that I've lifted up, And I just pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. You remind us a broken and contrite spirit, you will not despise. And Lord, as they come to you in brokenness, in repentance, I just want to pronounce an assurance of forgiveness and restoration over them, that they are a new creation in you. They are no longer they're now forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Christ. So I just want to lift them up into your hands. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them, for speaking to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.